Thank you. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to share my screen for what we have. I have a source sheet that I wanted to share with you from a share I gave a bit over a year ago, actually, that talks about a special date on our calendar, which usually falls out around Baha'loscha. This year is going to fall out on Friday. We'll actually see something special, a special detail about when it falls out. But let's get to that. Let me just pull up the screen so I can share it with you, and then we will get started. So, here we go. So what you should see in front of you is a source sheet that says 20 Sivan, a forgotten fast. The truth is forgotten is quite accurate in some ways and very inaccurate in other ways, because many of us may never have heard of the fast of the 20th Sivan. Certainly, we've probably never fasted on the 20th of Sivan. So it may be something that we're discovering rather than forgetting. But either way, the date of the 20th Sivan has significance going back actually to this week's Parsha. What the Seder Olam, which is really a listing of the chronology of the Jewish people throughout Jewish history. It's a midrashic work from the Tanaim and Amoraim. I think even the Tanaim mainly. And in it, we actually have a record of the date of the 20th Sivan. What is the significance of that date? It's something which actually happens in this week's Parsha. It quotes as a pasuk. That on the 20th day of the second month of the second year, meaning after they had left Egypt. So we're on the second month, the 20th day. And again, this is a pasuk that's written in the Torah. That's when the cloud arose and they began to travel. And the Seder Olam comments that this is how long they had camped in Midbar Sinai. They had camped there 12 months less 10 days, 11 months and 20 days approximately. And, you know, it calculates that. And then it says, Nas'um min Midbar Sinai, you can see on the second line in the Hebrew, or in the English. And, right, they traveled from the Sinai desert. Uva'ulayem le'kivrot ha'ta'ava, and they came to Kivrot ha'ta'ava. This Midrash assumes it happened on that day. Ve'asu sham shloshim yom. And they remained in Kivrot HaTa'ava for 30 days. Shene'emar, as it says, lo yom echad tochalun velo yomayim velo chamisha yomim velo asara yomim velo asrim yom an chodesh yamin. That they remained there for one month's worth of days. Now, does anybody remember what happened at the aptly named Kivrot HaTa'ava?
Kisham kavru et ha'om ha'mitavim.
Which means?
They buried the people who were desiring of flesh. Of meat.
Correct. There was a terrible tragedy there of people who requested meat, and the way that God paid them back with meat, unfortunately left many, many, many of the Jewish people not in such good shape following, and hence the name, as you mentioned, Kivrot HaTa'ava, that they were actually buried in that place because they had desired meat inappropriately, and their complaints that we see accompany that in this week's Parsha. I'm not going to get into the story in the Parsha, but even then, this was the 30-day period that they were eating meat for, and at the end, that's how long they remained at Kivrot HaTa'ava, where they buried these people. So this actually relates to the date of the 20th of Sivan, right? If they set out to there on the 20th of Iyar, and they stayed there for a month, this date, when they depart from Kivrot HaTa'ava, or the point where it seems that many of them passed away, actually, because again, they were eating meat for 30 days, now, again, how you interpret the psukim and what does it mean, Havasaro den obein chinehem, and how exactly does that work? Nevertheless, this was a tragic time for the Jewish people. However, we don't see any significance in particular given to this date until a much later point in history. We're going to discuss what point in history that is. That is about the 1100s. But let's start with some later sources that talk about the significance of this fast in the 1600s or so. We look to the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. In scattered places around the Shulchan Aruch, but many of the commentaries of the Shulchan Aruch lived in the 1600s. And they talk about this fast. So for example, just to see the strength of this fast in the eyes of some of the greatest rabbis of their generations. The Taz in source number 2, and we're not going to go through every source in detail because we simply won't have the time for that. But the Taz in source number 2, again, one of the major commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim 566, talks about how this fast is so significant that normally the halacha is for certain less significant fasts, if they were to fall out on a Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Friday, so then we'd be allowed to institute a Torah reading of Vayechal. But we wouldn't be able to, if they would fall out on a Monday or Thursday, uproot the reading that was originally scheduled for that day. Because we know on every Monday and Thursday we're supposed to read a particular portion of the Torah of the upcoming Parsha. Nevertheless, says the Taz, this is such a significant fast that even if it falls out on a Monday or Thursday, we will actually replace that reading that was already scheduled. Again, exactly from when is not clear. Usually we say Ezra. And we'll uproot that reading. We'll allow you to read the fast day reading of Vayechal Moshe, which is what we read during fasts. He says it's even more significant than some other fasts we may have heard of, like Bahab. The Bahab fasts are a set of three fasts that happen usually after the months of Nisan and Tishrei, that are supposed to come following the holidays of Pesach and Sukkot for various sins that may have been that may have happened around those times of year. But Taz is very, very clear that it's important. And Magen Avraham, in a separate place, in source number three, talks about it's questionable as to whether one may even eat for a certain su'udot mitzvah, such as a brit milah feast, and under what circumstances people may eat in those situations. And, you know, even there you can see the sort of tension and how widespread this fast was in Poland and surrounding areas especially. This was decreed by various rabbis at different times, as we'll see. Most notably, in the next source, we'll hear about the Bali HaTosfot and when they decreed the fast. So here I quote you from a book which has, you know, a chapter on a terrible event that happened in the year of 1171. Now, you'll have to forgive my pronunciation of the French, because if you don't forgive it, you'll be very mad at me because I can't pronounce half these words, but that's okay. Then Polish is no better. In the spring of 1171, the frightened or scheming Christian servant of a local Blois lord reported seeing a Jew toss a murdered child into the Loire River. No witnesses corroborated his testimony, no parents reported a missing child, and no corpse was ever produced. But the local lord to whom he told his tale had a score to settle with a prominent Jewish woman in Blois and saw an opportunity for revenge. Count Thibault, to whom the lord turned, may or may not have given credence to the murder charge, but he had reasons of his own for exploiting it. Thibault's mass arrest of the Blois Jewish community was not itself a new tactic of harassment. The captio, which is what this gathering of the Jewish community, or a mass arrest of the Jewish community, was designed to intimidate the victims into paying for their release, an effective if terrifying strategy for raising large sums of cash. But in this case, the mass arrest led to an unprecedented conclusion. I know we hear that a lot during COVID, but in this case, we're talking about something really unprecedented in terms of, even though there were often arrests of members of the Jewish community, look what happens here. An Augustinian canon validated the servant's testimony by ordeal, and ransom negotiations between the count, the imprisoned Jews, and their mediators collapsed. On May 26th, 1171, by the Hebrew calendar, the 20th Sivan of the year 4931, 32 Jewish men and women were burned at the stake. For the first time in medieval Jewish history, the secular ruler charged with their protection had prosecuted his Jews and condemned them to death. So, listen, things weren't so rosy up until that point, but you definitely didn't have those leaders who were assigned to community of Jews that would actually put them to death. Within a short time, the Blois incident was described or commemorated in a number of Hebrew documents. From the tone and content of the urgent letters that raced from nearby Jewish communities in Orléans, Paris, Troyes, to the Jewish communities in France and along the Rhine, we can glean both the facts of the incident and the writer's conviction that it boded further ill. So, she talks about a lot of the literature that we have available from this. There were a number, and this book explores some of the poetry associated with this event. But anyways, this was something that happened in a large Tosafist community, and at a time where the Tosafists were very prominent, apparently Rabbeinu Tam himself was actually involved in establishing this date as a fast. And you can see just what this was such a incident that shook the entire French Jewish community. The fact that this would happen, and I mean, she talks about the motif that is found within the poetry about this, of some of the people being burnt but not perishing, the fireproof martyr, especially if you read the literature about this date, you see how there were many, not only just run-of-the-mill Jews, but many Torah scholars who were very much involved in this. And this was a really, really shaking event for all of France at that time. And you can get an idea from the community letter from Orléans. If you take a look in source number five, in addition to the, again, you can see the sort of the poetic nature of some of these letters. But look what they are comparing this fast day to, as it was established by their rabbinic leaders at that time in the late, in the early 1170s. Look what they write. Vayara Hashem et reach hanichoach, and God smelled the savory offering, bar vi'i b'shabbat b'esrim l'chodesh Sivan, on Wednesday the 20th of Sivan in the year 4931, 1171. And it should be established as a fast day for all of our people. V'gadol yiyeh kavod atzom hazeh mitzom gedalya ben achikam ki yom kippurim hu. And the writers invoke two fasts that we have during the month of Tishrei. And they say, this fast will be even greater than the day of the fast of Gedalia ben Achikam, which we still keep. It's one of our big fasts. And they say, this is a day of atonement. This fast was very, very significant at that time. And in fact, this single event did not just stop with, okay, you know, Jews were put to death, that's bad enough, but it actually snowballed and led to all sorts of other terrible things happening in those times. As Rabbi Kaganov notes in his article on this in source number 6, this libel was a major factor in the banishing of the Jews from France that occurred 10 years later. This just started something that was really bad. And in those communities, those French and then previously French communities, this was considered a big deal. But as we know, things schlep along, and as we said, the forgotten fast. We do see it at the time being very, very significant, but over time, over 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, it starts to wane. People start to forget about it. It doesn't seem to be so significant. Unfortunately, we are given very good reason to reinstate it at a later time. There is a very, very well-known set of massacres, which we're going to read about a little bit. I'm not going to read too much about it again for the sake of time, known as Gezerot Tach V'Tat, referring to the Jewish dates, the years in which these massacres took place. They're also known as the Chmelnytsky massacres. If you jump to where I've highlighted, the fast of the 20th of Sivan also memorializes an additional Jewish calamity. And this is, again, summarized by Rabbi Kaganov in his article. Almost 500 years later, most of the Jewish communities of Eastern Europe suffered the horrible massacres that are referred to as the Gezeros Tach V'Tat, which refer to the years of 5408. So the Hay, usually the beginning, listing of the 1,000 years, we don't mention so much in the Jewish date, but we do say the Taf and the Ches was 408 in Gematria. So the years of 5408 and 5409, corresponding to the secular years 1648 and 1649. Although this title implies that these excesses lasted for a period of at most 2 years, the calamities of this period actually raised on sporadically for the next 12 years. First, the historical background. Bogdan Khmelnytsky was a charismatic, capable, and nefariously anti-Semitic Cossack leader in the Ukraine, which at the time was part of the Kingdom of Poland. As we mentioned, Khmelnytsky led a rebellion of the Ukrainian population against their Polish overlords. Aside from nationalistic and economic reasons for the Ukrainians revolting against Polish rule, there were also religious reasons, since the Ukrainians were Greek Orthodox, whereas the Poles were Roman Catholic. Khmelnytsky led the Ukrainians through a succession of alliances, first by creating an alliance with the Crimean Tatars against the Polish king, and goes on and goes on. Then they turn against him, and he allies himself with the Swedes. We jump down a few more lines. Basically, they managed to eventually revolt along with the Swedes and the Russians against Polish rule. We're jumping down a little bit. The Cossack hordes swarmed through Ukraine, Poland, and Lithuania in the course of a series of wars, wreaking havoc in their path and putting entire Jewish communities to the sword. Hundreds of Jewish communities in Poland and Ukraine were destroyed by the massacres. The Cossacks murdered unknown thousands of Jews, including instances in which they buried people alive. And I don't really want to go into the gruesome details, which you can see in front of you. People will often read these accounts. As we see, there are a number of chronicles of these events written by contemporary rabbis, including the Shach, who is one of the main commentators on some parts of Shulchan Aruch, on the section of Yoredeya. He wrote a book called Megillat Eifa, and a more well-known chronicle from Rabbi Nathan Nata Hanover, which is a title of Yivein Mitzula, which I had been introduced to actually on previous Tisha B'Avs, where people were trying to get a feel for the day and the Jewish tragedies that have occurred over history. And the things that they talk about are just unbelievable. I mean, the tragedies and the massacres and the gruesome nature of what happened was just terrible. And that's, again, not chas b'shalom to compare it to any other Jewish tragedies that we have. But this was you know, something which really rocked those Jewish communities over a course of 2 years. So then the question arises, okay, I mean, that's, you know, obviously a terrible thing that happened. Where does the 20th of Sivan fit in? And he explains further, why was this date chosen to commemorate the atrocities of the era? Again, I've highlighted it so you can see where I'm at. On the 20th of Sivan, the Jewish community of Nemirov, Ukraine, which was populated by many thousands of Jews, was destroyed by the Cossacks. The Rav of the city, Rabbi Chiel Michel, passionately implored the people to keep their faith and die al Kiddush Hashem, to die by sanctifying God's name. The Shach reports that for 3 days, the Cossacks rampaged through the town, murdering thousands of Jews, including Rabbi Chiel Michel, who was, as we said, the rabbi of the city. The shul was destroyed. All of the Sifrei Torah were torn to pieces and trampled. The parchment was used for shoes and clothing. Really, 5 years before, the community of Nemirov had been proud to have as its Rav the Gadol HaDor of the time, the Tosfos Yom Tov, who had previously served as Rav of Nicholsburg, Vienna, and Prague, a very, very well-known rabbi, Rav Yom Tov Lipman Heller, I believe his name was. At the time of the Gzeros Tachvatat, Tosfos Yom Tov was the Rav and Rashiv of Krakow, having succeeded a different set of rabbis. Although he was not there, this was something that was a terrible, terrible tragedy throughout the Jewish community. And because this particularly well-known community was attacked and destroyed, mainly beginning on the 20th of Sivan, this date was chosen. Additionally, the Shaarei Tshuva, and here's his last paragraph here, 589, quotes the Shach as citing an additional reason why the Vat Arba Haratzos, which was the leaders of sort of that area around Poland, in Europe, is known as the Council of the Four Lands. Other people refer to it as three lands, four lands. If you want to know the details and break your teeth, you can go up earlier. The Taz, I believe, was in source number 2, made reference to this as well. And I'm happy to share the source sheet afterwards with anybody who's interested. That the 20th of Sivan can actually never fall on Shabbos, and therefore they wanted it to be observed every year on the correct date. That's how much, again, this date was significant as a date of mourning on the Jewish calendar. And this was not set up by, you know, I mean, people like to say, especially now, we mourn all of the tragedies of the Jewish people on Tisha B'Av, and we do. But these were set up by the rabbinic elite of the time. You know, we have Rabbeinu Tam, the you know, one of the greatest of the Tosafists, and the father of the Tosafists, really, who establishes in 1171, we have all of these great Torah leaders and the Vadar Ba'aratzot, establishing this on the 20th of Sivan. This was something really, really taken seriously, as evidenced by those sources that we saw first from the late 1600s, from the Taz, from the Magen Avraham, and from many, many, many other contemporary sources. I'm not going to go through the details, more of the details of the Chmelnytsky massacres. But again, what happens at this point is time goes on. Unfortunately, things get a little bit less serious. We begin to forget. Becomes a forgotten fast, and unfortunately, you know, we'll see. It's restored only really after the Holocaust in some communities. Just to note also, there are other historical events that may have happened in between these two that I mentioned. You can see details of that in source number 8 if you have the time to read it. But really, and again, terrible, terrible circumstances that happened all the time, and these were basically reasons for reestablishing the fast. So too, the Hungarian Jewish community following the Holocaust, based on their knowledge of this date being an already sanctioned Jewish date for suffering that had come at the hands of the nations, in exile, they actually selected this date as the Holocaust memorial date for that community. And just to give you an idea, I didn't give the translation here, but I brought you, not only were there many slichos written for this date that were recited in various communities worldwide, but they were set in print following the Holocaust by the Hungarian Jewish community. And you can read the types of things that they set up. Even again, you know, this was in the 1940s, the 1950s, that people were keeping just to get a feel for what a day like this was like. You can read the front cover as well if you see it in front of you. Slichot Leyom Chaf Sivan. But they write, Or Leyom Chaf, Yom Adu, if you see in the Aleph here. I apologize that it's kind of small, but I'm going to zoom in a little bit just in our last few minutes here. Or liyom chaf yom adu perak mishnayot barabim v'yomru tefilat ana kadosh derabana li'ilui neshamo takdoshim. And they had reinstated, so they said, first of all, at night we should learn mishnayos publicly. We should say kadosh for those who have perished. V'yom chaf sha'a u'mechetza kodem chatzot hayom l'fi hazman hanahug ba'et hu 11:30. Okay, so it's approximately an hour and a half before Chatzot, which was, again, Chatzot would have been around 1 in the afternoon, so it said about an hour and a half before that. Yehi bitul melacha un'ilat hachanuyot ad le'achar tulat hamincha. Everything had to close. Everybody had to come together and gather b'shat hanal yitasfu kol hatzibur levet kneset echad. Dafka. B'chdei shetehei hit'orerut b'rov am v'im ein beit kneset achat mechilin. And if one shul is not enough to hold all the people, yitasku become of take nesiot lefi rof ha'am, Hashem yosif aleihem v'yom v'tehillim b'tzibur lekol ha'pachot chatzi sha'a b'mtinut. So first there was a half an hour of tehillim. V'achar kach yatchil harav ha'doresh le'mor lifnei ha'am divrei kvushim le'oreret ha'shomim l'tshuva. And then the rabbi would give a fiery drasha. Achar ha'drasha yomar ha'shatz kel malei rachamim b'nusach ha'nitfas kan. And then you would say a special kel malei rachamim, which they had v'yomru kol ha'tzibur tehillim. Chaf, they would say the 20th capital, the 20th chapter of Tehillim Yom Chashem Yom Tzarav, Arav Yomar HaKadosh Benusach HaNitfas Po, Lufi Nuscha Yeshana Li'ulin Nishmot HaKadoshim, and there were Kaddishes, and they would talk about the Mincha and the things they would say in the Mincha, right? They would take out a Sefer Torah, and they would read Vayechal as we saw earlier in these sources. This was reinstated again. This is not something that was generally happening in the 1800s in any communities. Again, this was forgotten, but this Hungarian, the Hungarian community said, this is our day to mourn the Holocaust and those other things that had happened. And really, this was looked upon as a date for all of these types of tragedies. And we pray that, as we see on the right side of our screen here, Hashem Yerachem V'Yomar Eref, may Hashem soon have mercy on us and end all of these troubles for which we are unfortunately constantly reminded of the tragedies of the 20th of Sivan from the times that they occurred until now. May we soon finally forget about this past once and for all, not chas v'shalom for the people who passed, but for the commemorations and for the sad events that have taken place. May we soon be able to reunite and to realize that hopefully in the future, we will not have any more reasons to commemorate this very, very sad day.
Thank you very much.